Welcome in, everybody, to Betting Pros. It's time to place your bets. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and it's time to look ahead to the NBA playoffs. That's right, the regular season is behind us. The NBA playoffs are here. The play-in games are going to be starting any minute now. And, of course, who better to break down all of the above action than Matt Modi, our man behind the NBA here on Betting Pros. He's been doing all of these shows for so many weeks and months here. But now we get to narrow the focus, Modi. Now we get to really look at the gold, because that's what it's all about here. So some opportunities left. We're going to talk about the play-in games. We're going to talk about some predictions in the East and the West. Also talk about maybe some potential finals predictions. But Matt, what has you excited most about these NBA playoffs? Is it some new teams in the mix? Some players with a lot on the line? What's got your attention heading in to this really exciting part of the NBA season?
Yeah, for me, it's the entire Western Conference. I mean, if you just look at assuming anything, but whoever makes it out of the play-in games, most likely not the Kings, because they're kind of the weaker of the four. But these like just titanic playoff matchups between really good teams, star-studded teams, like some up young and up and coming teams like the Thunder and the Timberwolves, who are up. I mean, not Timberwolves have some older players, but in terms of this high in the seeding, they're number two or number three. And then you have like the Clippers versus the Mavs, a rematch from back-to-back playoff years, the bubble, and then the year after that went seven. The Suns and the Timberwolves, you have like the big three of the Suns versus like the Timberwolves, who have been a top, I don't know, five team in the NBA the entire season. And then whoever comes out of the play-in, the Thunder are the one seed. You almost wonder would teams rather be the eight seed so they can play the Thunder as opposed to the Nuggets. I just think the Western Conference is going to be an absolute gauntlet. That's definitely what has me the most excited. The talent level on basically nine of the 10 teams, including the play-in, is crazy with the West.
And make sure you subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel so you can stay on top of all that action, and download the Betting Pros app too, because the prop bet analyzer, the cheat sheet, all the things that are going on there every single day, we're trying to give you all the tools we possibly can to help you make smarter bets here at Betting Pros. And I know Matt's genius is going to help everybody do that as well, but use the tools, use Matt, use this show, use it all. Hopefully you'll come away very profitable as we do. Let's start with some of those play-in games here. Let's start with 9 and 10 here, the Kings and the Warriors, both teams 46 and 36. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, this one, this one's pretty easy for me. I'm taking the Warriors. Their spread right now is -2.5, at least last I checked. The Kings, you know, last year they kind of were somehow the three seed in the West, despite it's really just because of health. Like, they're the only team that stayed healthy. They're the most normal team in the West last year. That's how they were able to get to the three seed. This year, their offense was down. Their offensive net rating wasn't nearly as good as it was last year. They're banged up with Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk out. Even though they're technically the home team here, the higher seed, I think this one is pretty clearly in the Warriors' favor, in my opinion. I think the Warriors have a lot of distinct matchup advantages against the Kings, and that's where I would lean for that one pretty confidently.
Now, the other playing game we've got the Pelicans and Lakers here. The Pelicans finished 49-33, the Lakers 47-35. So does LeBron take this game over?
Yeah, it's a good question. I kind of went back and forth with this one. I had a tough time predicting it. I will say what a bummer for the Pelicans. You basically have a 50 win season and your potential playoff path is beating the Lakers in the first round of the play-in. And then if you lose that game, you have to play possibly Steph Curry and the Warriors. Like, that's a bummer. I lean towards the Pelicans money line. Actually, they're a slight underdog. This is one of my favorite betting strategies specifically for the playoffs. And this is when it really only makes the most sense to do, is basically, I call it the flip-flop method. It's the zigzag, whatever you want to call it. Whenever two teams play each other and then they play each other literally the next game, I basically, and this isn't 100% of the time, of course, but bet the opposite of what previously happened. Cause I feel like people tend to fall in love with whatever just happened recently. And I feel like you can actually have a lot of value literally just betting the opposite of that. And, you know, these two teams played on Sunday and the Lakers smoked them. I mean, LeBron had like 7 assists in the first 6 minutes. He had 17 actual assists. He had 24 potential assists. Zion only scored 12 points. It's like everybody's just going to say, oh, you know, LeBron, AD, Lakers, playoffs, they're going to want to hammer the Lakers. We're actually kind of like a lot of the distinct matchup advantages for the Pelicans as well. You know, the Lakers can really take it to teams that can't match their size, like the Thunder. That's why they have such a good historical record against the Thunder, because the Thunder just aren't big enough. Pelicans are like the biggest and baddest team, one of the biggest and baddest teams, at least with Zion. Brandon Ingram, at least, has one game returned from his knee injury, and then Valanciunas and CJ McCollum's been playing really well. And a lot of their side players, I like Herb Jones a lot. I like Trey Murphy the third a lot. So I actually lean the Pelicans here for this one.
All right, let's move over to the East, Matt. The Bulls and Hawks at 9-10, squaring off 39 and 43. That's where the Bulls are coming into this, and the Hawks at 36 and 46. So do you have a favorite of these two?
Yeah, I would lean the Bulls in this one. Admittedly, this is like one of the grosser games that you'll see. Two teams with like a mid-30s win totals is not what you want to see for the playoffs. But the Hawks are banged up. Like Jalen Johnson's going to be out, and then they're trying to integrate Trae Young back, even though DeJounte Murray had been playing really well, leading the show. And the Bulls have quietly been playing decent basketball. You know, their net rating is a little bit in the positive over the last 10, 15 games, which is not the same case with the Hawks. So without a lot of confidence, I would lean towards the Bulls in this one.
Well, maybe we can get you excited about the other one here. The number seven, 76ers. There we go. 47-35, taking on the Heat in the eighth spot there at 46-36. So a little bit more intrigued here.
This game's going to be awesome. Okay. You get the Jimmy Butler versus Sixers revenge game. You get Embiid coming back, who's been really good since he returned from the knee injury. A Sixers team that has won eight straight games, dating back even before Joel Embiid returned. And then you have the Heat, who everybody's just kind of like, all right, yeah, the Heat are going to wake up when the playoffs start. But if you go back to last year, they had a home play-in game. They're the seven seed against the Hawks, and they lost, and they looked pretty lifeless in that game. And then in the next play-in game, they were nip and tuck with the Bulls. And if they're a hot shooting game from, I believe it was either Max Strus or Gabe Vincent, hot shooting game from one of those two guys, from legitimately losing to the Bulls and missing the playoffs entirely. Of course, that didn't happen. They won that game, and then they ran through the East and made it to the finals. But I feel like the people just think that the Heat are going to wake up. With that said, I actually do lean at least the Heat with the points. I'm not necessarily sure I trust them to win straight up, but I think 4.5 is a little bit too much in favor of the Sixers, even with how good they've been to end the year. I mean, when's the time the Sixers have won an important playoff game in the Embiid era? It's literally never happened. And, you know, if you give me a one game sample size of Spo to do some ridiculous defensive strategy, doubling Embiid, a bunch of creative stuff, Jimmy Butler, who admittedly didn't show up in the play-in last year, but still everybody remembers playoff Jimmy. And it's a Sixers team. Like, he loves to stick it to the Sixers whenever he can. So I would lean the Heat in the points with this one.
This is fun. Before we get to the East and the West here, looking at the bigger picture stuff, you got a guy wearing a baseball shirt and a guy wearing his Eagles stuff talking NBA. I just kind of realized that. So people are watching this going, what the hell is going on here? But that's how we roll. We are very versatile here at Betting Pros. Let's take a look at the West. So the Thunder at the one seed right now, they're going to wait the eight. We have the Nuggets sitting at two, so far locked in at 4 versus 5, the Clippers and the Mavericks, the Timberwolves and the Suns. Let's break down these two matchups from your perspective. Clippers Mavs will start there. Who do you like to advance from this one?
I actually lean towards the Mavericks in this one. I might be being a little bit too much of a prisoner of the moment, but I just look at how these two teams ended the season. And it's basically the polar opposite. The Mavericks, basically since the All-Star break, have been on fire, but especially in the last 15 games. They ended the season 12-3 with a net rating of plus 6.2. For context, that would put them as the seventh best team in the NBA in that span. Same stretch of games. You look at the Clippers, they're 9-6, which doesn't look terrible. It's not as good as 12-3, but more concerning, they were +1 net rating, basically a completely average team over the past 15 games. And, you know, you wonder what team is the Clippers. They had a stretch where I think they were 25-5. I forget the exact numbers, but in the middle of the regular season, like basically when they decided to bench Russell Westbrook and just have Harden be the main lead guard, they went on a absurd stretch. Again, like 25-5. They beat every team. They beat the Clippers. They beat the Timberwolves. They're just mowing through the NBA. Since then, they're an average basketball team. Since the All-Star break, they're 15-14, actually with a negative net rating of 0.5, which is all to say for 2 months now, the Clippers have been an average to slightly below average basketball team. And I think kind of similar to the Heat, but with a little bit, maybe a little bit of a better roster. Oh, they have Paul George, they have Kawhi, they have James Harden. They're just going to turn it on in the playoffs. At least in the Heat's case, they have examples of deep playoff runs, which the Clippers don't really have. And then on the Maverick side, their team makes a lot more sense with the trades they made at the deadline, acquiring PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. We all know that Luka shows up in the playoffs. And I mean, even though when these two teams played back in 2020 and 2021, the Clippers won both of those playoff series, Luka was an absolute dog, just crushing the Clippers in that game or in that series, even though they couldn't actually take the series. So I would lean the Clippers here. I worry that I'm, again, a little bit too much of a prisoner of the moment, but I just haven't liked what I've seen from the Clippers for months now.
Well, so much of this is about getting hot at the right time. So if you're peaking in the middle of the season, that's not usually the ideal situation in the playoffs. What about the 3-6 here? What about the Timberwolves and the Suns?
Yeah, this one is tough. It's kind of a very similar matchup in terms of the Timberwolves are a young and upcoming team that haven't made a playoff run yet, versus the Suns, who have the name brand, the name value of Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I would lean towards the Timberwolves winning this one. I was surprised to see that the Suns are actually the betting favorite in terms of odds. I'm going to go look at that on DraftKings Sportsbook. But the Timberwolves have just been the better team all year. And the Suns, while they've shown stretches, 10, 15 game sample sizes of playing well, they have really not been able to extend that over the course of an entire season. You know, there was one point back, I believe it was like maybe the end of March, middle of March, where the Suns were looking good. And then they lost back-to-back games against the Spurs, who are one of the worst teams in the NBA. And the Timberwolves have been one of the best teams all year. They've ended the season well, 10-5 in their last 15 games, plus 5.9 net rating, even better net rating than the Suns in that same stretch of games, who had 5.2. And I just, you know, a heavy jump shooting team like the Suns that don't have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, I worry, in a 7-game playoff series. Like, they're going to get hot for 2 games. The Suns will, and look phenomenal. But I just trust the way that the Timberwolves score more. I trust their team defense. And the Timberwolves, like, they've shown up against these good teams all year. They have the third best record against teams with the winning record in the NBA, 32-20 against teams with the winning record. Suns are only 28-25. I feel as though the Suns are being a little bit too overvalued just because of the name brand of the three guys I mentioned and the fact that these two teams played and the Suns beat them on Sunday. It's kind of a similar flip-flop method type thing. Granted, this is over the course of an entire series versus a 1-game sample size, but still, I would lean the Timberwolves for this one.
In the East, the Celtics are at the top of the 1 seed, 64-18. The Knicks, unbelievable. I can't believe I can say the Knicks are a 2 seed.
Right?
It feels very 1998 to me. But still, they are 50-32. In between, we've got the Cavs and Magic at 4-5 taking on each other, and then the Bucks and the Pacers. Let's start with the Cavaliers and the Magic. Do you have a favorite in this matchup?
Yeah, this might be the most boring playoff series I can remember. That doesn't involve a 1-8 or a 2-7 matchup. I mean, the Cavaliers went on another team that went on a really big, really good run in the middle of the season. Their last 15 games, they're 6-9 with a net rating of -5. That's ranked 22nd in the NBA. There are some bad teams that ended the season better than the Cavaliers. And then the Magic, slightly better, not much. They ended the year 8-7, net rating of 4.8. But if you look at the last 10 games, they only went 5-5 with a net rating of 2.7. They limped to the finish line, admittedly not as bad as the Cavaliers. Two teams that I don't really trust, and I feel as though if they were matched up against any other team except for each other, I don't think they would win any of the playoff series against any other team that's going to be in the playoffs. But because one of these teams has to win, I would lean towards the Cavaliers. I don't feel very confident about it at all. But the Magic, you know, it's their first playoff run, very, very young team. At least the Cavaliers went through the playoffs last year and got embarrassed. You hope that they're going to show up and not let the same thing happen this year. This is not one of my more confident plays. I don't trust either of these teams, but if I had to give a pick, I would go with the Cavaliers.
Well, I won't
be careful if you're betting it.
Hold this one as the Modi special. Yeah, we won't do that. But you know, young teams are dangerous because they don't know they're not supposed to do well.
True.
You always got to keep that in mind. Young teams in playoffs can be very dangerous in any sport. The Bucks and Pacers here at the 3-6 spot here, respectively. The Bucks coming with 49 wins in the season. The Pacers with 47. So your take on this series, Matt?
Yeah, this one, it's a huge question mark whether Giannis plays or not. He hurt his calf towards the end of the season, and calf injuries scare me. Like, you know, I always go back to Kevin Durant, who hurt his calf back in like the 2019 playoff run, and then he returned and he tore his Achilles minutes into his first game back. Obviously, you don't wish that upon anybody, but calf injuries are tricky. They take a lot longer to heal than you expect. And the Bucks have been horrible since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. They have a losing record. They were the second seed in the East when he took over. And granted, they ended the third seed. That doesn't sound bad, but they literally have a losing record since Doc Rivers took over. They've been bad every stretch of games, despite like maybe one good game they played against the Suns, one good game they played against the Celtics. It has not been a consistent stretch. And fighting for the 2 seed, they had a 3-game stretch where they lost to the 3 worst teams in the NBA. They lost to the Raptors, the Wizards, and the Grizzlies in 3 games in a row. Now you're having that, and also the situation, like I said, Giannis might not even play. The Pacers are another example of, you said, the young team that they don't know that they're not supposed to win. They play a really fast-paced, really fun offense. that is really creative. And Doc Rivers is the old school style of coach that doesn't change any of his strategies, especially on defense. So I worry that the Pacers are just going to be able to put up a ton of points on the Bucks. And the Bucks offense, you know, Dame's having a down year. Giannis is hurt. Chris Middleton has had stretches where he's looked good, but he's been out of, in and out of lineup with injuries. I would take the Pacers here, and I feel pretty good about it.
All right. Interesting, because as we move on looking at the Eastern Conference winner, the Bucks are actually the number two on the board right now, plus 550. The Celtics minus 190. So everyone feels really good about the Celtics coming out. The 76ers at plus 1,000. The Knicks at plus 1,200. One of these four favorites interest you, or is there somebody that you think is going to make a magical run here? Right now, again, minus money already on the Celtics. That's kind of what Vegas is telling you, that they see them going to the finals this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are obviously the best bet to make the finals of any team in both in either conference. I'm not laying minus 190 on a team to make the finals. Too much stuff can go wrong. And we've seen the Celtics as favorites not get out of the East. It's kind of a bummer. My two favorite teams to come out of the East might play each other in the first round, and that's the Knicks and the Celtics. I think the Knicks have a lot going for them to come out of the East. They've consistently given the Celtics trouble. Even, you know, the Celtics had a slow end to the year, but they had clinched the one seed for weeks. But one game that they got up for, they played all their starters, they wanted to win, was the Knicks. And the Knicks won. Like, the Knicks won that game handedly. And, you know, the first game of the year, I go back to, the Knicks lost that game, but they gave the Celtics trouble. And I think, like, the style of play that the Knicks have can upset the Celtics. You know, the lead guards perform really well against the Celtics style of defense. That's Jalen Brunson. They have the wing bodies that can hang defensively with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They have they can play Isaiah Hartenstein, and he can stretch out to the perimeter. So even having a stretch big like Porzingis, I don't see them having a huge advantage that they do over a lot of teams and they do against the Knicks. Obviously, the Celtics would be the favorite in that series, but I think that the Knicks could make a run. It's a bummer that both these teams could play each other. So if you're asking me to lock in a future bet at this current point in time, I would probably say the Knicks. But if they end up playing in the first round, I'd probably wait till whoever wins that series. Granted, you're not going to get as good of a price and then take them then, because they're still going to be heavy underdogs, because the Celtics are still going to be a heavy favorite. But the Knicks and the Sixers are the two teams that I think could run the table out of the East.
All right, let's go to the Western Conference there. Take a look at this. The Denver Nuggets at the top of the board at plus 135. The Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 600. The Clippers at plus 600 as well. Then we move to the Mavs at 8 and the Phoenix Suns at plus 850. So what's the best value in your opinion on the board? Look, the Nuggets are number one, but still plus money. Are they tempting to you?
I would take the Nuggets even at the plus 135 number. Like I said, the West is an absolute gauntlet, but we've seen the Nuggets do it last year. We've seen them beat good teams in the playoffs. They can win in so many different ways. And Jokic is just the ultimate problem solver on offense. There's nothing you can do to stop Jokic on offense. And I just don't see them having a weakness like other teams do. I think if you asked me for a long shot that was not the Nuggets, basically, I would actually lean towards the Mavericks. So I think they also can kind of beat you in different ways. And they have two guys that, you know, 5 minutes left in the game can get you a bucket, and Luka, obviously, and then Kyrie Irving. And their team, like I said, makes a lot more sense currently constructed than it did last year, or even how it began the year this year. And so I would trust them out of the field. Like, I would trust, if you're taking out the Nuggets and you're saying who else in the field, I would actually trust the Mavericks over the rest of them. So if you're looking for a long shot, I would go with the Mavs.
All right, last one here. Let's get to it. NBA champion. Right now, the Celtics are at the top at plus 165. The Nuggets at plus 300. So we just talked about them. Maybe you do like the Nuggets to go there. The Clippers at plus 12. Same with the Bucks. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder at 1600. The Timberwolves at 19. There's some other long shots. The 76ers at plus 19. The New York Knicks at plus 3300. So those are some long shots. So give me your take on this board, what it looks like. Do you just like the favorites here and just take the good money you're still getting on the plus side now? Or you want to maybe spread it around a little bit, take one favorite and maybe a long shot as well, see if it pays off and hedge.
Sure. Yeah. My prediction to win the finals is the Nuggets. It's been my prediction all year. I haven't really been scared off of that at any point. The weird loss to the Spurs to end the year, but the game before that, they beat the Timberwolves in what was a really important game for the one seed. And like I said, like, they're switchable on defense. They can kind of, Jokic, prior to last year, everybody thought you can't win with him at center because he's not a good enough defender. He's got quick hands. He can get a lot of steals and he can do enough on defense. And then his advantage he gives you on offense is better than any other player in the NBA. So the Nuggets, even at plus 200, I do still think that's a good play. In terms of a long shot, you know, the non-favorites I like to win, the Knicks and the Mavericks. I think if they made the finals, unless they somehow played each other, I don't think can win the finals. Mm-hmm. So I would probably just stick with the Nuggets as my favorite and only final play is what I would say to win the finals. Because at plus 300, I still think that's pretty good.
And Jokic, the MVP?
Jokic, the MVP. That's right.
There you go. There you have it. You're the MVP, Modi, of our incredible NBA coverage. You've been doing it all season long, man, between the shorts that you have, the predictions, the best bets, between the live streams here. You got a little bit more to go. So pace yourself. You've still got some NBA left to do, but you certainly deserve a rest sometime this summer, and then we'll start to ramp up again. But again, Matt always is the best in the business when it comes to breaking down the NBA stuff. And of course, you can watch him here on our Betting Pros channel. Don't forget to download the Betting Pros app and also subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel and ring that bell for notifications so you know every time a piece of content drops here on the channel, including the amazing live streams that Matt does here for us on NBA. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Matt Modi, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids. Enjoy the NBA playoffs.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.